And good morning, everybody. Good. What is today? Wednesday. Good Wednesday morning. Day 3 of 21 days of growth, 21 days of prayer and fasting. Hopefully you're getting into a little bit of a groove now with your fasting and your praying habits and everything that you've got going on in your world. Hopefully you're starting to find a little bit of a pattern there and get things off and running in your life and in your season of personal growth. So thank you so much for joining with me today. We are going to get started here momentarily. And as we get ready to begin, I would just ask us today, if you would just join with me. I've had a little bit of a, I guess you could say just a little bit of a burden on my heart concerning just kind of the state of our culture right now. I don't know. It's obviously that's a very broad burden. And I think that we get so wrapped up in what we have going on. And we get so caught up in praying about our things. And there are people around us that are hurting. There are people around us that are sick. There are people around us that are dying, right? But even more so, there's people around us that are lost, that are maybe feel hopeless. Maybe they feel like that no one seems to really care about what is going on in their world. So I want us to just kind of be mindful of that today. And as you go throughout your day, I want you to just be aware of the people around you and what they're going through and where they are in their life. You never know what someone is going through. And so I want to be mindful of that. But today is day 3 of 21 days of growth for us. We need to experience the presence of God. I know there's been some times in my life that I have experienced some pretty cool things. I've experienced, you know, the viewing the Mount Rushmore. I've experienced standing at the foot of the, I think it's called the Multnomah Falls there in Oregon. They're on the Oregon and Washington state line in that region of the Northwest, and just breathtaking. I've stood at the base of the Rocky Mountains and looked up into them. I've stood on top of the mountains and looked back into the valleys. I've seen the majestic things of this life. I've experienced meeting celebrities. I've experienced, you know, many, many different things and had opportunities presented to me that have been great experiences. But today I want to key in on a fact that we need to experience the presence of God on a daily basis. The presence of God should not just be something that we experience on Sunday when we go to church. It has to be something that we experience on a daily basis. Ann Hawks, or Annie Hawks, and Robert Lowry in 1872 penned the words to the song that says, "I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, for I come to thee." I wonder what would happen if that would become an anthem rather than a cry. I don't know what it was written. I don't know the circumstances in which it was written. I know a lot of times songs are written out of circumstance. Like you go through something, and because you go through it, you write a song. I've done that before. So I don't know if Annie Hawks and Robert Lowry were going through something traumatic. I don't know what they had going on. I just know that they penned the words that say, "I need thee, oh, I need thee." That seems to be a little bit of a level of desperation to me. It sounds like they are in desperate need. It sounds like they need help. But I wonder what would happen if we begin to adapt that point of view as opposed to it being from a place of desperation and it become an anthem from a place of consecration. That we would just simply declare to God and to anyone that would hear that I need the Lord. I need the Lord. It was Andrew Murray, who was a missionary to South Africa, once penned these words. He says, "The more I think of and pray about the state of religion in this country, South Africa, and all over the world, the deeper my conviction becomes that the low state of spiritual life of Christians is due to the fact that they do not realize that the aim or do not realize that the aim and the object of conversion is to bring their soul, even here on earth, to a daily fellowship with the Father in heaven. When once this truth has been accepted, the believer will perceive how, notice these phrases, how indispensable it is to the spiritual life of a Christian to take time each day with God's word and in prayer, to wait upon God for his presence and love to be revealed." I find it so refreshing that he would, the way he phrases those last few things when he says that we would realize that this is an indispensable practice. Ladies and gentlemen, your prayer life is something that is indispensable. It is something that you cannot afford to lose. It is something that you and I cannot afford to have just something that we put our half of an effort into. We must pursue him. We must pursue his presence. And today we're talking about practicing his presence. Like it becomes something, not practicing as in I'm just going to, you know, do some practice and I'm going to do some routines and I'm going to go through some motions and I'm going to go through some drills. No. Practicing, you know, is I'm a practicing Christian, which in this case means consistent. Like I'm a practicing, some people are practicing vegetarians, right? Or practicing this or practicing, right? That's what we need. We need to become those people. We need to become an individuals that are practicing his presence, that it is commonplace that you and I are in the presence of the Lord. We are to practice his presence. We are to even long for his presence. We need to be desiring his a connection with him, longing for his presence and desiring that connection is the only way that you and I will draw closer to him. And so thereby is the only way that you and I can have personal growth on a regular basis. I'm not going to have growth if I'm not practicing something. I'm not going to have growth in my physical attributes. I'm not going to grow my biceps if I never go to the gym and do, you know, and work out. I'm just not. I'm not going to, if I'm not practicing at it, if I'm not working at it, if it is not something that I do on a regular basis, then I am not going to be successful in it. The previous 2 days, we've talked about the importance of hearing the voice of God and the importance of God hearing from us. And God longs to hear from us. But more importantly, God desires to have a connection with you. It's the creator that desires to be connected to his creation. I see my mom jumped on. It's that parental connection, if you will, a little bit, that there's never a day when I, as a parent, as a father to Aiden and Anna Claire, don't desire to talk to them, to grow close to them, to know them, to express my love to them. So if you, being an earthly father, wouldn't give your children stones if they ask for bread, then how much more does your heavenly father want to spend time with you? How much more does the creator of all things, everything that he created, he said was good. But when he created man, he put his breath in the lungs of man. he put his image into the life of humanity. So I think that kind of gives us a little bit of an understanding, a little better and a little clearer understanding of the fact that you're not just some inanimate object to the Lord. He longs to speak to you. He longs to hear from you. And he really wants to commune with you. He wants to spend time with you. And he wants you to be in his presence. He wants to be in your presence. This cannot be just a hit and miss thing in our lives. Our prayer life cannot just be something, you know, our walk with God, our Christendom cannot just be something that we put in our calendars and something that we put on our schedule and say, well, I'll get to it after I get these things completed. There's got to be a point of consecration. There's got to be a moment. You've got to be like Jacob and have a Bethel moment that changes even the location from Bethel to El Bethel. You've got to have that moment in your life. And I think from the beginning of time, there has been a picture of what should be a priority in all of our lives. There has been an example of how things should be prioritized in our life. So for instance, let's just take it like this, that my priority list, first and foremost, is my relationship with God. First and foremost, the thing that I am the most responsible for, the thing that I should put the most emphasis on is my relationship with God. You may say, what about your marriage? What about your children? What about those are second in line. Because they're not the ones that are going to save me throughout eternity. They're not the ones that's bringing me an eternal security, if you will. So I'm developing a relationship with the one who is going to save my soul. Then from there, my next priority is that, yes, of my wife. Then my next priority is that of my children. And my next priority is that of the things that God has entrusted into my hands as a pastor and as a leader. That is the work of Calvary Tabernacle. That's my priority list. God, my family, and then my church. And so in doing that, I'm putting God first. I think we would do ourselves a favor if we would begin to prioritize time with him instead of trying to itemize our time with him. The world was created. In Genesis 1, the world was created by him simply saying, let there be, and there was. The world and everything that we know was created with him speaking a word, with him first saying, in the beginning, God created. It says, in the beginning, at the first. So in a similar sense, in similar fashion, I think we would be wise to put him first because our spiritual world and lives are created when they begin with God. So much like this world began with God, so shall my spiritual world begin with God. David said it like this. He said, all my springs are in you. All of the fountains of life, all of the places, all my springs are in God. Whatever is good and perfect in my life is fastened to him. It's fastened to his presence. As James said, he is my source. So I've got to put him first in everything that I do. I've got to practice his presence. How do I do that? Thank you. I'm glad you asked. It's a prayer life. And I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being as humble and as sincere as I possibly can be. It's our prayer life. Practicing his presence is nothing more than desiring to spend time with him. But when we don't practice his presence, What are we saying? I remember just a few short months ago, Aiden had gotten his job, and it was before he went off to college, and he was at home here, and he was going somewhere to grab some food. He was hungry, because every teenager is hungry at 1:15 in the afternoon when they just had lunch at 12. And he's going to get him something to eat. And so he slips into my office and he says, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to go get something to eat. Do you want anything?" I thought, "Oh, that's nice, But, no, I'm good." And he got ready to walk off. And I said, "Oh, here's my debit card." Because as his father, I'm accustomed to providing for that, right? I'm accustomed to him walking in those doors and saying, "Hey, Dad, we're going to go here." And just me providing the funds for him and his sister to go do whatever they're going to go do. And he said something that took me kind of by surprise. And I don't know that I was prepared for it completely. He said, "No, that's good, Dad. I got it. I've got money." Well, I knew that he had money, but and what he said was, "I don't need your debit card." What I heard was, "I don't need you." Now, we all know that that's not what he was saying. We all know that's not what he was saying. But to this mind, to my heart, to my spirit, that's what I felt in that moment. And so his presence, God's presence, and God's willingness to love us, and his presence around us, he wants us to need him. And so as we go in these daily moments and we spend time in our lives and we start just kind of categorizing and compartmentalizing him and our time with him, and we make sure that it's itemized and it's on the schedule and it stays in that block of time, then we're okay. But when we don't practice his presence, when we don't say, "I need thee, oh, I need thee," we're saying, "God, I don't need you." By proxy of not saying, "I need you," silence speaks volumes, and the silence is deafening. Why does this connection between the Creator and His created matter so much to you and I? We would never come out and say, "Oh, I don't need the Lord." Would we? We would never just open up and say, I don't need the Lord today. We would never open up and say it like that. But by lack of participation in the relationship portion and the prayer, the practicing of his presence, we kind of are saying that I don't need the Lord. And if the magnitude of prayerfulness, if the volume of my prayer is immense, then it stands to reason that the destruction of prayerlessness is beyond imagination. And we can't mince words here. Prayerlessness will kill you. A life without prayer eventually will not be a life at all. The failure of today's believer, the failure of this generation's believer in prayer will lead to destroyed lives, ruined marriages, hopeless homes, weakened families, powerless believers, and eventually lead to dead churches. We must understand that prayer is the line of communication that brings to us comfort, counsel, and conviction. You need his presence in time of trouble for comfort. You need his presence in times of confusion for counsel. And you need his presence in times of weakness for conviction. That's why we must have his presence. So it's not a matter of how you pray as much as it is a matter of why you pray. Yesterday, we made the reference that could it be that some of us don't pray because we're afraid that we don't know how to do it correctly. We're worried that someone is going to judge us. And so we hold off on praying because, well, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I'm not good at it. Maybe I might say things wrong, right? What if I don't get it right? And so I just don't. I would say, what if you do? Why not give it a shot? Because without it, destruction is for sure going to come our way. There's going to be these moments of loss. And I use the word loss very broadly there. But there's going to be seasons of loss if we've lost the seasons of prayer. Because it is, in a matter of speaking, it is our lifeline. It was William Gurnall that once wrote, he said, "Perhaps the deadness of thy heart in prayer ariseth from having a deep sense of thy wants and the mercies thou art in need of. The hungry man needs no help to teach him how to beg." I like that last line. The hungry man needs no help to teach him how to beg. How desperate are we today for the presence of God in our lives? How desperate are you and I for the presence of God in our lives? There's a writer, her name was Nancy DeMoss, that once penned and said that she felt like that there was two reasons for prayerlessness in her life personally. There are two reasons for prayerlessness. First, she recognized her lack of desperation. Secondly, she recognized a sense of independence within her spirit, and she felt independent from the Lord. I wonder how many of us can echo what she penned there. I wonder how many of us this morning or later today, whatever time you're watching this, would echo those words. The reason prayerlessness exists in our life is rooted in one thing, and it's pride. The reason prayerlessness is there is because we have pride in our hearts. I know that is a strong statement, but I feel strongly that that is the case. It's pride in the fact that we say, I'm so desperate, but I'm not desperate enough because I think I can handle this. There's a lack of desperation. There's a lack of understanding that salvation does not happen because I figure it out. So she, as Nancy DeMoss would say, there was a lack of desperation in myself, in my spiritual walk. There was a lack of desperation. And so therefore, prayerlessness began to express itself in my life and begin to show forth in my life. So pride is the root of prayerlessness. Pride is the root of prayerlessness for two reasons. Pride says, you can't save me because I'm too bad. Pride says, I don't need you. I can handle this on my own. You will either fall in one of those two camps if pride is in your spirit, in your heart. And so I say today, God, help me remain humble. God, help me to simply just be humble. And I say that I penned those words on my page this morning. getting ready, you know, God help me be humble. And of course, the first thing that comes to my mind is the old song, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." We all know that I'm not, and I know that I'm not, but that was just the first thing that came into my mind. But I want to remain humble. I want to stay humble. It was Billy Graham that once said at the close of his life, he said, I would to God that I would have prayed more and preached less. I wish that I would have prayed more and preached less. I think that says something to you and I this morning, that there's got to be a place, there's got to be a season in our lives where we realize the need for his presence. They say that practice makes perfect. I'm not sure that I completely agree, but I can tell you, as someone who has been an avid golfer for a number of years, that there is a saying in the golf swing community that says practice does make permanent. So push aside the misplaced priorities today. Make space in your calendar to practice his presence, because practice makes permanent. Put everything else aside and put value on the relationship that you have with God, and put value on the things that you know are important. And ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing that is more important than your relationship with God. So while practice may not make perfect, practice can make permanent. I would encourage somebody today to make practicing his presence a permanent fixture in your daily life. I want you to pray with me as we close today, and just invite the presence of God to go with you throughout your day. Would you do that with me? Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you for your love and for your mercy. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity, God, that you've given us to be a part of your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that your presence would go with us today. I pray that we would never be far removed from your presence, but that every turn, every decision, that every part of our day would be saturated with your presence. And we give you praise for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, guys, I love y'all. I hope this has been a blessing to you some way, somehow. Go have a great day. Go make a difference. Be humble. Be kind. We love y'all. We'll see you tomorrow right back here, 7 o'clock, for day 4 of 21 Days of Growth. God bless you. Have a